take the Bible, turn with me to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. The election has already been mentioned this morning, but I will touch base on that in just a moment. But we will see from a few verses in this message. From this text, where should our hearts be? You know, I try to be cautious as we talk about politics and other things, because so many people don't know. They've never been told, they've never heard, and too many have been taught incorrectly, totally contrary to the Word of God. Many have said, well, if you're a Christian, you must vote Democrat, you must vote for all the social programs and things like that. And, that is not the case. Those are not God. They're not biblical in any way, shape, or form. Now, I'm not going to ask you just to take my word for it. If you didn't follow otherwise, if you don't understand, I'd be glad to sit down and go through scripture with you and show you why that is the case. My intention today is not to preach on politics, but to preach from this passage, but we will see this in some form in this passage. But part of the reason we're here this morning in the Psalms on election day, the day after election, I was at work and I had an opportunity to go to the garage and I was told, help yourself, there's some young amendments on the table in there. And somebody had gone bought a couple of dozen donuts and they just played on the name Dunkin' Donuts, they called them Yunkin' Donuts. And so I stepped in there and I had to have a Yunkin' Donut. But as I was standing there eating in the little break room by myself, I noticed there on the table, amongst all the things that go on in that location, a New Testament was wrong with Proverbs. And this happened to think about, you know, I think about so many of the people that you meet in your everyday life and with work, and do they know why it's the Psalms and Proverbs attached with the New Testament? I think they probably don't. And the reason being, the New Testament is much easier for people to understand than the church of God, of Jesus Christ is more open to doing than with the Old Testament. But the Psalms and Proverbs give us so much teaching, so much instruction from a godly perspective about how we are to deal with God and how we deal with our fellow man. And so that's why they are packed so often in that small pocket-sized Bible so that we can gain those lessons, those teachings by dealing with the fellow man. And thinking about that in that day and how God had blessed us so richly as we've been in that life. And I don't know if you pay much attention. It's a lot of us have had a hard time paying attention to anything politics or anything after the last election because of the wickedness and corruption and things that have happened. But you and I need to be aware as believers. And do you see the ungodliness and the wickedness of the ungodliness in whatever capacity you're in? And that's what we need to notate and think about this morning. Given my message, the title, and it's called Godly Hatred. Godly Hatred. I'm not here to teach you hatred. That's not my perspective. That's not my point. But we do need to understand what the scripture teaches. I thought of another situation that came to my mind that had happened recently at work, and I was talking to two gentlemen, and speaking to one of them, I was referring to the other one and said, yeah, I did this and that because I don't like that guy. And I was just teasing. The guy was sitting right there. And then he was about your side of work, and sometimes you know him, but anyway, I was just joking. And the other person said, oh, I can't believe you would say that, and you call yourself a pastor. you ever have a dog, you know, you do something in 30 days sideways and look at it? That's kind of the look I'm really going to my face in that situation. So misunderstood is love. And they do. And I'm concerned for a fellow gentleman to think that a Christian must love and must do, that the world is all skewed with false teaching and ignorance. I just want to share from this passage this morning. The scripture tells us that God is love, but the scripture also tells us not to. Scripture gives us in numerous locations a list of things that God does. I'm not going to take you through those this morning. I would encourage you to look at them and then meditate upon them. Pride being one of the chief things that is the very definition of our ungodliness, our sinfulness and wickedness is alcohol. And God hates pride, and it is out of pride so often that stands between us and salvation, because we can't love God, we love ourselves too much. We think too much of ourselves and our own way of doing things, so that the things of God are just minimalized and the truth has no effect upon us. If you're in Psalm 139, we'll take a moment in just a few minutes and we'll read the Psalm together, but my focus this morning is on verses of 19 through 22, and I'll read them to you at this time. Surely, thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye blood men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. What we want to look at this morning, not just those verses, but those verses in particular, to start out to get an understanding of what the psalmist is saying and where should we be, because what is our mindset and our heart to be as believers? Would you stand now with me in reverence to God's word? Let's read all 24 verses of the 139th Psalm. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee, when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. May the Lord add his blessing to his word and to his father's word. Dear God, Father, we thank you for your truth. And, O Lord, dear God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that guides us in the truth. O God, that teaches us the truth. O Lord, the Holy Spirit be a blessing to each and every heart here this day. To your children, for wherein your Holy Spirit already dwells. For all those that know you not, O God, may you be pleased to send your Holy Spirit to quicken those hearts this day, to give them understanding of your word, to show them your truth. Oh, dear God, to give them a fear of you, that you might sit in front of the heart, that you, O God, might be worshipped and exalted and praised, that we might be humble before you. Take away our pride, O God. For the glory of our Savior Jesus Christ today. Amen. Please be seated. Verse 19 and 20 of these four verses, we see the sin of the wicked against God. Look with me. Surely that will slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloody men. David, the psalmist here, speaking to God, thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. But then as he's thinking of God and he's talking to God, and that's what we're going to find most of the psalm is about. We're going to focus, hopefully, Lord willingly, on these four verses first, but then we want to take time and look at the entirety of the psalm. Because this is not what it's all about. This is just a portion of it. But he addresses God there. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. And then he turns to those about him. Those in this world. Those that God is going to slay. Those wicked men. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. Have no part with me, for I will have no part with you. You see, he's drawing the line of division. But who has drawn the line of division here between David and these wicked and bloody men? Is it not Adam? Adam's not even in effect. Well, yes, but you see, it is the sin nature that we inherited from the sin of Adam. When Adam sinned, we all died. So yes, even David is one of these wicked and bloody men, but you see, now there's a dividing line not drawn by Adam, but now there's a dividing line drawn by the work of Jesus Christ. Salvation. We looked in 1 Peter, we were there for a number of weeks, looking at the work of God in salvation. There are those who hate Christianity. Remember the phrase, there are those who hate true Christianity. There's a form of Christianity out there today that the world is completely compatible with. All they have no problem with it at all. The problem is there's nothing Christian about it. But when we look at the truth of Christianity, there is a line of division drawn between those who are God and those who are the children of God, those who are Christians, and the rest of the world. But it is not the church that has drawn the line. It is God who has drawn the line. There are all of us by birth who are ungodly. But there are those saved by the grace of God, by the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ, who have possessed a new birth by the work of the Holy Spirit, just like we saw in 1 Peter. And those are the children of God. And there is a line of demarcation. There's a line of separation between those two groups. The world wants to merge in and gray out all those lines, but it will not happen. The line will be definite in eternity. Even if you don't see it and understand it now. As Jesus tells the story of Lazarus and the rich man, Abraham says unto the rich man as he's in hell, between us, between those in heaven and those in hell, there's a great gulf fixed. so that those who would come from hell to heaven cannot. Cannot. There's only one way that that gap is ever bridged. There's only one way that anybody ever gets from hell to heaven, and they don't go from hell to heaven, but they go from the promise of hell to heaven, just as Lazarus did, that poor beggar. It wasn't his poor state in life, and it wasn't his suffering in life that caused him to be an Abraham's bosom. It was the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that's the only way anybody ever crosses that gulf. You see, every single one of us is promised from the sin of Adam eternity in hell. The wicked shall be cast into hell, and all the nations that forget God. But by the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ, we are transformed from those bloody wicked men unto the children of God and born again. So when David looks to those around him and says, "Depart from me, ye bloody men," the line is not drawn by David. It's not David who's choosing to be separated from them. It is the work of God that has separated David from them. They are separated themselves from God by the sin of Adam, and they remain there. I told you pride is the thing that God says he hates. It is pride and arrogance in us, in our human nature, in our sinful nature, our natural man, that makes us despise God, that will not allow us to do as we ought and humble ourselves before him, recognizing his goodness and his mercy, his holiness, and our worthlessness. It is our proud, arrogant pride that makes us stand up before him now. You want me to be worthy. You want me. We take the long-suffering mercy of God as a witness. Instead of realizing what God has done for us, and men and women mock God and his death. We preach the word of God, and it's like a mimicry. Peter addresses that in his epistle. So they say, since the beginning of time, nothing has changed. He said they forget about Sodom and Gomorrah. They forget about the days of Noah when God destroyed the entire earth with the flood. The wrath of God is coming. The wrath of God is coming against the wicked. And God knows how to reserve his and protect his. And God uses that in Scripture. How he saved Noah and his three sons and their wives. And they people in the ark, he saved them all and destroyed the rest. And in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, he sent the angels in and brought out Lot and his wife and his two daughters. Four people they brought out of all of those towns and destroyed it all. But all the heart of Lot's wife, all she longed for the wickedness and the corruption. And she turned back and she returned to the children of God. And God knows how to reserve his own. God knows where the line is. God knows who loves him. We saw that in the early verses there, and David was talking to God, praising God. Verse 3, thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with my ways. God is all around. God is there constantly taking care of everything in the world. But as we come to verse 19, depart from me, therefore ye bloody men. They want to be right around us. They don't see any difference. They don't recognize any difference. That's why there needs to be preaching it at the chapel service of Edward Square. That's why there needs to be preaching in churches. That's why there needs to be preaching in the world, because men don't know. And lost men can't see the difference, and they don't understand there's a difference. And the Word of God must be preached and declared with the authority of God. Some people might hear me and say, "Well, you're just a proud, arrogant preacher up there, and you just yell at people, scream at people." Please, I hope you don't take it that way. I preach out of concern for the lost and the Lord.
But you see, I preach with an authority given by the Word of God. Because you see, the message that I declare to you is not my message. It's God's message.
Amen.
God said, you must hear this, and you must know this. And there are people in hell.
There are people in hell who regret not hearing the Word of God and not hearing the warning that is in you. Oh, would you hear it today?
But you see, it's not natural for you to see that. It's not natural for you to recognize that. And it's not easy for you. You can't see it apart from the work of God. But all it's my responsibility to declare it to you. And all may God be pleased by His Holy Spirit to give you understanding of it, to give you comprehension of it, to see that you are lost. There is a line between you and a child of God. There's a line that separates between you and God. There's a holiness about God that we can't even approach
unto.
I've had a burden for some time, and I pray that the Lord might bless me with it. I don't want to die before I get to preach.
I want to talk about preaching about and stuff about all the different aspects of salvation. Thank you for work in progress. What a problem.
But you can't see and you can't understand and you don't believe in Scripture apart from the work of God. And talking about the holiness of God, that's what I'm talking about. People don't talk about salvation. They want salvation. They want to be saved. They want to be saved. They want to be saved.
They want to be saved. They want to be saved.
To talk about the blood of Jesus Christ being applied to everybody. But you see, they don't know what the blood of Jesus Christ means. See, there's a work done in salvation. There's multiple works done. If your sins were simply forgiven you, you still could not approach in the God. Except your righteousness is seen. That is a very good Jesus. You can't have it in your head. You see, if Jesus didn't just wash away the sins of his people, he also gives them a righteousness. He is perfect righteousness. And unless you are dressed in that robe of the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, you can approach unto God. You can't dwell in the presence of God. Heaven would be miserable for you, and you would not do well with heaven. It required more than just the blood washing away the sins. It required the righteousness of Jesus. See, we don't understand. We think we're so close to being okay that it's just amazing. And I'll need just a little something else to make us a little better, and then we'll have eternity in heaven. We just don't have it. There's nothing good about us. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's not one iota of any aspect of our being that commends us to God. There's not any one of us sort through the whole pile. If you think of Brother Ray looking for a bolt or something, you're trying to do a job and you need a bolt. And so you got that whole bolt of bend. I've been a bolt, and so you're just digging through, looking for one. Well, then maybe this is the right length. Maybe this is the right diameter. Maybe this is the right thread. Maybe there's something I can do to make this one work. But if God takes His hand and stirs through the whole of humanity, there's not one aspect of any single one of us to recommend us to God. There's not one single thing about us that fits. Nothing about you. Oh, but Pastor, I try to be good. I've never robbed anybody. I've never done this, that, or the other. Name up whatever you want. I don't care. It doesn't matter. That's what God says. You know, what about all the good things you've done? They're filthy rags in the nostrils of God. God says so. The best thing you've ever done is in a filthy rag in the nostrils of God. There's nothing about them. God didn't choose anybody because there was something good about them. God chose dead, worthless, corrupt sinner and made you the image of God. It's all the work of God in salvation.
David continues in verse 20 as we talk about the wicked and the sin against God. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do you think that's all? What do you think of all the wicked things we have not been doing? He talked in words like this, blood and men. Oh, murder! Murder! Murder is one. But notice in verse 20 that it says, they speak against thee, God, they speak against God wickedly, and they take his name in vain. And they're his enemies. But thine enemies take thy name in vain. But if you look on a scale of human understanding and logic, who's murder way up here and just taking God's name in vain? Well, that's down here. Nothing. Everybody does that. You see, Scripture is not written from the perspective of man.
Yeah.
Because there's a way that seems right to man, and it is there other way. Your perspective is wrong. We have to form this world, but we need to transform by the renewing of your mind. When you make good work, that good and acceptable and perfect will be done. You see, the only way we can know what is even right is God's work and God's word changing us. That's what that word says. So what we would take is just a minor thing of talking wickedly against God, of taking God's name in vain. That's what God tells us to do. Except for us. That's a horrific thing. You take attacks against you? You let people talk about you? It's offensive, isn't it? But you see, you have a big problem for what people say about bad about you. I'm too often excluded. But you see, there is no accusation that can legitimately be brought against God. And you would fall to my God. They speak against me wickedly. Everything you have ever known is God. Every single thing you've ever used or been blessed by is God. And you work all the time working it. What? We have a saying. A dog that bites the hand that feeds him. Something's wrong with that dog. Something's wrong with that creature. Because here's the person that loves you, takes care of you, provides for you, and if he even is feeding you, attacking and bite. How wicked and vile is that? That's all wrong with this person. There's something wrong with that. But you and I are that dog every day. By birth, by our sin nature, we're that way. The God of creation who created us and owns us. Who could wipe us from existence by a new word. And we speak wickedly against him. Of all the illustrations, of all the examples that God can use through the mouth of David here, that's the example that God uses. Oh, you see, our understanding is off. Our understanding is wrong. We need to understand this. It's not about what good things and bad things you've done. Look at how you've spoken evil against God. And how many times do you have this statement? Good job.
wages of sin is death. One, two. Now, we're born with that death upon us from the sin of Adam, already up in the hole. But then we all do it time and time. The ungodliness, the wickedness of our thoughts, our speaking wickedly against God, and thine enemies, verse 20, the latter part, take thy name in vain. What do you mean? I don't think that we'll ever comprehend the name as the apart from salvation and even short of eternity. The honor and glory that God places upon his name.
Amen.
It says that twice he's given him a name above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess. We will come to him. Listen to that. Names don't mean much to us. We assign names here and there, and they have no meaning, and they have no logic, and they have no reason, and they have nothing to do with others. It's just our name. They're not so with God. Not so with God. It is an offense worth the death penalty to take the name of God in heaven. But how life they need to look. They think nothing about it. Find somebody out there that does that at work. They try to work with them and try to get them to stop. They may work on it for a little while, and before long, they'll become abusive to you for even mentioning it at all. Apart from the Holy Spirit, we can. Praise God that the Holy Spirit dwelling in us will bring us to that, will teach us that, will instruct us that, will give us a love for God that will overwhelm that sin. God talks about his wrath upon the wicked and upon his enemies. Let's share a few of the verses with you. Hold your place here, turn back with me just a little bit. Psalm chapter 5. Psalm chapter 5 and verse 6. Thou shalt destroy them that speak reason, lying. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful men. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. That's the form for after birth. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight, thou hatest all workers of iniquity. But I was where God loves among these things. God is love, God is love. God is love. God is love. When you want to understand love, look to God. He is the perfect example and the only true example of love. And his love for his children is perfect. But you see, to say that God is only love is something totally different. God is the perfect example of love, and he is love. But there's also more to God than that. There's a God. There's a part of God. There's a definition of God. God is hatred. God hates. God is angry with the wicked every day. He hates the sinful and the wicked, and he's going to punish them for all of his life. Amen. We were talking about yesterday. There was a situation where this man did horrific, ungodly, unthinkable things. to the dead girl, left her for dead, then came back later and went ahead and murdered her. The found guilty, was sentenced to death. But then a politician comes along and says, well, you know, death penalty, that's not good. Let's do away with that. So then another politician comes along and says, well, you know, this guy's been in prison. You know, he was a criminal before, but look how well behaved he is in prison. We'll let him out so he can go do some prisoner stuff. And there he goes for a minute more time. You see, there's a flaw in the mind of man. We can't do black and white, right and wrong. There's always somebody gotta grade this line out or blur that line or change something in here or there. Our justice system is a shambles. Because it's not about guilt or innocence anymore. It's about what you can prove and what you can get away with. Or what can you make other people happy. That's all it is. That's all it is. Don't you see? It's not so wicked. The wicked shall be cast into hell. Now, if that includes you, raise your hand. If that includes you from birth, raise your hand. It includes every single one of us. You see, the only reason everybody does it. You think, well, I'm going to cook it in the one cutting board and chop everything up and just got to push everything into the pot. The only reason God doesn't just turn earth up and push it all straight into hell is because Jesus died. And Jesus died and took the penalty for all of those that would be killed in the hell. Otherwise, everybody goes to hell, and there is no question, and there's no redo, and there's no early out, and there's no parole, and there's no check all around. You know, that's too harsh. We'll have to back off of that. But God hates sin and wickedness with a pure hand. And God has created punishment that is fitting for those that sin against me. And it's called this. American justice, world justice, let me figure out how to punish and how to fix this, that, and the other. God's going to offer you out. Whether learned by the knowledge or not, I'm going to some people are afraid to look forward to dying and dying on stage. The bars and the environment. There's no dying to escape the enemy. There's no dying to escape the pain and suffering. Well, I believe in greater suffering and hell than is that worship in God. Suffering is never ending. Even in all of your sin, even in all the midst of your wickedness and corruption and sin against God, you've never been separated from God. He continually poured out blessing upon you. So that they come and we won't. David says, do not, I hate them, O Lord. Again, the misunderstanding of the world and the lies that come from Satan. You can talk to all kinds of people that have no concern or knowledge of the things of God, and they'll tell you they love God. They'll tell you they love Jesus Christ. Not such a thing. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, yes. Is there even any concern for the Word? Any concern for His commandments? Any desire to keep His commandments? Any anguish and guilt when we sin against Him? Oh, praise God for the conscience that He gives His children to steer them away from what we've done all our lives in sin.
as he instructs us from his word, as he gives us a desire and a love for him, and it grows, and we grow closer to him and further away from the things of the world. So the luster and the excitement of the world are not attractive to us. Oh, dear God, would you grow us in sanctification so we love the things of God more and more and more, so that we become consumed with the world. You see, that doesn't happen apart from the world. That doesn't happen for so many church members, because their church membership doesn't include anything from God. The church membership only includes something in the church members. You see, there's a difference between church membership and Christianity. Christianity is what God does. And God gives up His Holy Spirit. And God quickens the heart. And God teaches His children to love Him. And He instructs them and grows them. And chastens them, yes! Chastens them to learn the things of God. And He sends them tribulations and trials to grow them in things of God, to increase their faith. All the faith that He gave that they might be saved, He grows. That they might know and love and trust Him more and more every day. Not something you get from church membership. Something you only get from God. Thou, O God, Psalm 55, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. You think God's bloody? Godly hatred. What makes godly hatred godly hatred? It's the things God hates. It's the things that God is going to punish. It's the things that God destroys. And that's where we as believers must stand. And again, it's not the line we draw, it's the line of God. Again. Verse 21, David says, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. The ones that hate them. We know from 1 John the epistle, as John says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. There's the sign, there's the evidence, there's the proof there of salvation, because Christians love Christians. He started off right before that and said, the world, don't long ago, the world hates you. If you're a Christian, the world hates you. And shame on you if you're taking steps and measures to try to make the world look. You see, because the error in the equation of the world hating Christians is not the fault of Christians, it's the fault of the lost. If you want the lost to hate, to love you as a Christian, you can't take that with the gospel. And you'll water it down to where it's palatable to them. And say, oh, God loves everybody. I love everybody.
Tell them the truth.
God hates sinners. God hates sinners. God's going to punish sinners in hell. And you and I all are one of them. The difference is, are you in Jesus Christ? Do you have the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ? Did He die for you? Has the Holy Spirit been placed into you? Have you been quickened? Have you had a new birth? Has God done a work in you? That's the difference. You got family members that hate you because of Christianity? That's how you fix it. Well, you see, when we get together from holidays, I don't talk about church, and I don't talk about religion, and I don't talk about Jesus because it offends them. Don't ask. It's what they need to hear. It's what they need to know. It's the only way they will ever love you. But you can't change it. If you're a Christian, you don't lose your Christianity. You have a work, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. And you can't undo that. Nobody can. That's God's work. And so they will ever hate you. Unless God says yes. That's the only way to change. So you sow the seed, you share the gospel, and you pray for them that God might save you. But you see, it's so much more than about them loving you. They're just, I hate them, that's what they do.
It's about them loving God.
You see, I'd rather share the gospel with you people
in the hopes and prayer that you might come to know God and love God. And my God might be pleased to bring forth life from the seed that is sown. Whether you love me. Not about your love, but it's about your love of God. Your problem is not a new problem for God. You know you have problems. You've not been listening. Oh, you need it. Young people said I would be a suggestion. There's not an age limit for fire. He said, you need Jesus Christ. You need the work of God. And God is pleased to reveal to you that you are one of these enemies that hate God. One of these that speak wickedly against God. One of these that take his name in vain. He shall bring upon them their own iniquity. He shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. Wherefore let the wicked condemn their contempt, God. He hath set his heart that will not require it. We already talked about that. The wicked condemn. God doesn't really care. God's not going to require it. He's not going to do that. Yes. God will require it. In eternity, we will stand in answer for every our word to this day. Do you remember what you said to me? Do you remember how you cursed your parents or spoke with against your parents when you told them you were going? Or a teacher? Or anybody in authority? Do you remember how you rebelled when you were told to do something? The scripture gives a bunch of examples. One is, said, I will not do it. And the other one said, I will do it, but it didn't. Both are wrong. You probably can't even remember. You can't even remember all the ones you've done today. But God knows every single one, and God will require it. God will require it of you. You will answer for every single one. Every single one. Third. Can you get this in the point? Not what it is. It's just something we do. This is your connection with truth and reality. The life you live is not truth, and it's reality. The world thinks it's all about the treasures of this world getting ahead, and God struggling to get better grades so that you can go to college and get better grades so that you can get a job and have more money and more stuff in life. Wrong answer. Wrong answer. You don't have any more business. That's not what it's about. The chief end of man, the purpose of every human being, is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Just glorify God. That's not sinning. Sinning is not glorifying God. Psalm 10, that's the passage I just read. Wherefore does the wicked condemn God? He has said and taught that will not require it. God's not going to hold me accountable for this. God doesn't care about this. Oh, yes, He does. Thou hast seen it, He says to God. For thou beholdest mischief and spite to requite it with thy hand. If God sees it. Oh, you see, you thought because you mumbled it under your breath that nobody heard and nobody knew. God sees all of God made. What is the proper attitude of God's children? Proverbs 21:22, Psalm 139. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee?
and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies.
But if he says it in the verse, it's all from them. Amen.
I hate them that hate truth.
It's not I hate them that hate me. It's I hate them before you.
You see, as the psalmist is teaching us in God's Word, it's not about us. It's all about God. It's about your relationship to God. Scripture teaches that all the way through. Believers,
we're going to pass from death to life because we love the brethren.
People, brethren, love brethren. Christians love Christians. I use the term brethren there. I'm talking about Christians, true Christians. Christians love Christians because this Christian loves God and this Christian loves God. These Christians love each other. That's what the passage teaches. If you can't love the one you've seen, how can you love the one you haven't seen? We know we pass from death unto life. We know we're believers. We know we're Christians because we love the brother. I love what God has done in you because of what God has done in me. But we hate those that hate God because it's all about God. It's not about me. It's not about how much you love me or how much you like me. It's how much you know God, how much you love God. Is there a work of God in your life, or is all of your life sin against Him? You didn't know that, did you? You thought, well, yeah, I have those times in my life when I do a little bad here or a little bad there. But your entire life is a sin against God. Anything not done by faith is sin. And apart from a new birth, you don't have faith. So guess what? Nothing's done by faith.
And then that's everything sin.
So that even your righteousness and your good works are filthy rags.
Everything you do is sin.
Everything you do is against God. Everything you do is out of hatred against God. When you should be bowing before Him and worshiping Him and praising Him and thanking Him,
you're telling the Lord. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate me.
Yes, what you have is the hatred of God. You wouldn't describe it as that. You wouldn't define it as that. Your definition is wrong. Your understanding is wrong. Your comprehension is wrong. It's not what you think or what you understand.
What does God say? Can you agree with God? Or are you going to argue about the gospel?
See, that shows your standing. That shows your heart. That even when we talk about what God has said, it's the why did God declare this? Why did God give us this body? So that we might be saved. So that we might know the truth. So that we might have our ways corrected, amended, and we can stop hating Him and know how to love Him and have a start for Him.
And so we write this, and then we say, God, and we are doing this.
Do you see how your whole world is sin? Do you see how your whole world is against God? Do you see how you are on the wrong line, wrong side of the line? For you, it's hell. For you, hell awaits and nothing else because you are the enemy of God. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate me. You hate God. You rise up against them.
Oh, I know you would never sit here and say anything. Breaking that, I can't agree with that.
But you say anything.
But really, as we go through the rest of this song, you see that God doesn't have to wait for you to say it. Verse 4, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all better.
The great teaching of this psalm. For the omniscience of God, O and I was telling them that God is very blessed and knows all things. He knows the thoughts of your mind, even at this moment. He knows the intent of your heart, this moment in heaven. You may not even recognize or realize exactly what you might be doing. But God knows. You don't have to say to yourself, God knows. And you'll answer to God's voice. Because even the thought is a sin.
Jesus said, if a man looks upon a woman who lusts after her, he's committed adultery in his heart. If you hate your brother,
you committed murder in your heart.
You see, it's not a little game like you thought it was.
It's all about God. And it's all about you for eternity, either enemy of God or child of God.
Now, I told you time and time and time again, whether you believe in God, believe the word of God, believe.
But the sin of Adam weighs against you, the sin you to hell for all eternity, and uses the day of your birth that added to it every day of your life.
There's no hope for you. You can't back up. You can't undo it. You can't do any good going forward, remember? Everything you do is sin without faith. So it's not like you draw a line in the sand and say, from here on out, I'm going to do good. You can't do good.
No.
The only hope of any descendant of Adam
is the last Adam. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. His righteousness. His shared blood. His perfect work. His acceptable work. God said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. He's accepted of the Father. And the only way you and I can ever be accepted is to be in Him. In Him. Fully in Him. His love, His righteousness. Every single aspect of the perfect Son of God in my place. Do you know what you're saying before God?
That you came in here today hoping maybe the word about sin.
God hates. God hates God, heavens, wise. All sin. You don't see a picture about that God? Amen. Look at the picture of God. Look at what God did to erase sin upon sin. And pour out His wrath upon them. Listen to the words of Jesus Christ. See the suffering of man, not the physical suffering of man. And we cried out in the heart, my God, my God, why did you forsake me? And God gave us back upon Himself to take the mercy. If Jesus Christ took the wrath that belongs to me, then it's from God. Take it and drink it as you will search me. Don't want to suffer the fury of the wrath. See the wrath of God against you. Realize the picture. Listen to words in this verse. Verse 20, for they speak against thee wickedly and thy enemies, take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Am I not grieved with those that rise up against me? These enemies that he hates, prepared with his son and in his weapon. If the wrath of God for sin looks like that upon the son whom he loves,
and you want to pay for sin, what's it going to look like upon you who are in me? This is not a game. Not a great man. Serious business is your soul along with him. However long you live on this earth, doesn't matter, there's another day coming. Whether you die or you just want to be, it's worth it to you. So what do you do? If you live well, or live, or child of God, you have to be with God. We get into the rest of this message. That we are our brothers. We do it. We do it. Dear God, Father, thank you for your word. Your word is true. For we God is not understood, it's not believed, it's what the Lord of the whole truth. He believes, O God, that in the Holy Spirit, even now, it's written in their hearts. We understand, Lord, we God, bring forth life. And truth, and the truth is in the gospel of what the Jesus Christ, and if you are with us, amen.